Have your Bibles this morning. We're going to be looking at 1 Peter, and we'll begin in verse 2. It says, according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. A couple things there is this is all was before even the foundation of the world. God had a plan for his son. He had a plan to show man, his creation, that he was God and he was almighty and he was all powerful and he's all sovereign. And there's a sanctifying work. Who's doing that work in your life? Is the fact that you're reading some help books and trying to become a better person? Or are you allowing the Holy Spirit to put the deeds of the flesh, this old nasty nature that we're born with? We're born in iniquity. Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to do that? And in doing that, is that a time that we should be enjoying or wrestling? I find in my own life I wrestle with it when I don't really want to give up what I really like, I think I like to do. You see, when you become that new creature and there's that that conflict that lives within you, the battle and really begins. And what we have to understand is that Jesus came as a light, and his light illuminates the things in our life that we need to do. He shows us that we're born in iniquity. He shows that we're hopelessly, helplessly lost. But he also illuminates the path to righteousness, and that's through himself, so that we can worship God the Father. Satan's light is a blinding light. He presents himself as an angel of light, the Bible says, but his light is a blinding light. He's one of those lights that wants to condemn us and keep us condemned and keep us depressed. You're not worthy. Why you keep doing this? You gotta really work your effort, and you gotta. It's all about you and what you're doing for God, and it's a blinding light that robs us of that joy of salvation that we have. We ought to be the most joyous and content people on the planet. Not that our life is better than anybody else's, but understanding what the purpose is. And if you missed Sunday school, you missed the purpose of all that, didn't you? So you'll have to ask me later. I'm not going to tell you if you want to know. It goes on to say that may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure, not just a little bit of peace and a little bit of grace. But have you ever thought about, I want all of it? I want to experience the full measure of who God is in my life. You see, I keep putting expectations on God in my life. I expect him to do this, and I expect him to do this, and I expect him to do that, instead of simply becoming obedient to his word and trusting in him. Knowing at times in my life, he may be keeping me from something. Have you ever got something that you thought you really wanted, and then once you got it, you didn't really want it? And it proved to be a disaster in your life? You see, sometimes God keeps us from those things in our lives that we think we want. And then we wonder, where is he at? And God, do you even care for us? Well, again, and I hope you don't get tired of me saying this, but the love of God cannot be questioned by mankind, because he did send his son so that we wouldn't perish. We talked a little bit about that in Sunday school too. See, so many people want to attribute the love of God to how their life is going, and not the eternal security that he gives us to those that have been born again. You see, that's the true love of God. And what he has to do in our life to bring us to that revelation. And we've been talking about revelation lately. We've been talking that, you know, the biblical truth can only be revealed through the Holy Spirit in your life. It cannot be grasped through studying, and it cannot be grasped through any human wisdom or trickery. It has to be given to you by God. Therefore, that's why we should have that fear and trembling of and working out that salvation. Not that you get your salvation by works, but once you become that child of God, there's a working out of that salvation, in which case he is sanctifying us, setting us apart from this world, that we would see things different. Our character would be different. And it wouldn't be based on what happens to us, but it would be based totally on a righteous decision that we are a child of God, and this is how we ought to respond, not as the world responds. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again. I want you to understand that this born again concept is not something I've dreamed up. It's in all of Scripture. It says that you are born dead in your trespass of sin. You have nothing more other than flesh. And flesh can only beget flesh. It cannot beget spirit. You have to be born again by the Spirit of God to be a spiritual being, which is what you were created to be. His great mercy. He looked past our transgressions. He looked past what we were. Not condoning any of that. But in making a righteous decision because of his holiness to provide a way that we might become his righteousness, and that was by putting his son upon a cross. Representing the sin of all mankind. And then in 3 days raising him from the dead so that that would show God's approval, that he accepted that sacrifice so that you and I might become that righteousness of God. Has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A living hope is a growing hope. A living hope is actually the definition of faith is in that, isn't it? The assurance of things hoped for and conviction of things not seen. That's the definition of faith. I'm not hoping God exists. My hope is in him that he does exist and he takes me to glory someday. And that I live with him with eternity. My hope is also that during this transformation process in my life that he's the one that has to do it. I've tried in my life sometimes to give up some of those things that our nature just naturally does until I become exhausted. And then what happens in the danger of becoming exhausted is that you give up. That's why the Scriptures teaches us about the endurance, and the endurance proves our faith. The endurance proves who we are. See, that Holy Spirit within us won't allow us to give up. We may want to, but he won't allow it. If we turn it over to him. See, he's trying to take, when we try to take on his responsibility and try to become that instrument that's holy and pure on our own efforts, by the efforts of flesh, it will fail. Because God wants us each and every to know that none of this can be done without him, without his work in our life. And we get so bent out of shape and we get so caught up in all of the protocols of Christianity that I don't think we truly enjoy that salvation experience that he's given us. Why? To obtain, it says verse 4, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, an undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. We always have to remember that God has to reveal any truth. It's a revelation by God, and he chooses to reveal who he chooses to and to hide from who he chooses to. That's where the fear of God should come in all of our lives. Even though Christ was a universal forgiveness of sin for all mankind, the application of that is an individual one. And that's where the fear of God should come in at, that God, you don't pass me by. That God, you reveal my heart to me when the Bible says we don't know our own heart. We think our motives are good. We think we're doing the right thing. But it may be totally contrary to God's word. And if we're not in God's word, reading it, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal that to us, we're going to miss it. When we rely on some man to tell us what our heart is and what our motives are, instead of looking at the Scriptures and letting God reveal this ugly picture of who we are. See, no one is righteous, no, not one. No, not one. He goes on to say in verse 7, let's go to verse 5. Who are protected by the power of God through faith, for his salvation to be revealed in the last times. In this you greatly rejoice. even though for now, for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials. The early church was continually stressed, prosecuted. Paul, in his zeal for God, Paul, in his thought he was doing something good for God by stamping out this blasphemy called Jesus Christ. Some man, how dare him call himself God and the Son of God. And yet Paul, in his good intentions, was wrong until the Word of God came to him. And when the Word of God came to him, it corrected him. The truth is that the Word of God has got to correct you, not the church, not some pastor, not your parents. But at some point, the Word of God has got to be revealed to you in your life so you realize what you are and where you stand before Almighty God and why He sent Jesus Christ. And that was so that we will not perish. So the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable. Think about that. How do you prove something? You test it. So all these things that we go through, it's called life, the perils of life, they're testing us. See, the joy comes from the proof of what we are and who we are. It can't be a fleshly hope. It's got to be that eternal hope that comes from the Holy Spirit that allows us to persevere. And to prove who we are. You see, it's one thing to just say, that's who I am. Okay? I could tell you that I'm a veterinarian. And then you bring your dog and have me to spay it. And if I've never been to school and learned to do it, oh, well, then I'm not going to prove to be much of a veterinarian, am I? So we call ourselves children of God, and if He doesn't put us through all of these perils of life, some of the perils of life come because of our disobedience. Let's make sure we straighten that out. But there are sometimes it's due to prove who we are. We have to know who we are before we leave this earth, because when we stand before Him, He'll say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." This is something you get to know now. It better be something that you know now. We can't just keep saying, well, God is going to do this, and God is going to do that, and God is this, and God is that, apart from what God's Word says that He is. And though you may have not seen Him, you love Him. It didn't say that you love what He does for you. It says that you love Him. Apart from the disasters in your life, apart from all that we experience, we love Him because of who He is. And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with the joy expressibly and full of glory. Obtaining, listen to this, why? Why is all of this important? Obtaining as an outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Faith comes from hearing. You got to hear. Hearing by the Word of God. How will they hear if we don't send the preacher? But see, nowadays when preachers have stopped preaching the Word of God, people aren't hearing. So therefore, you must take it upon your own responsibility to sit down with God by yourself, open up His holy word, and go to Him and say, God, show me who you are. God, show me who I am. Show me. If I want patience, guess what? My next week's going to be horrible. He's going to put me in situation after situation after situation after situation, till I get this patience thing down. See, some of us are very stubborn. I don't know about you all, but am I stubborn, honey? See, it doesn't matter what I think. You know, Paul says, I didn't know there's anything wrong with me, but that doesn't make me acquitted. See, the thing is that we're too quick to give an assessment. I love it at work, when I never... It's crazy because at work, we always have to do these self-assessments. You ever have to do a self-assessment? And I just put exceeded expectations on all of them. I just drive them nuts. I'm not going to evaluate myself. It doesn't do any good to evaluate myself. The only one that gets to look at me and to look at my heart and tell me what is right and what's wrong is God. You know, it's not God aligning up with me, it's me lining up with Him. Let's look at Acts chapter 15. And begin in verse 15. Because it's very important that we understand what this means and what this transformation and what this sanctifying work and all this is, what it all means, and bring it practical in our lives. You see, even the early churches had problems. Even the early churches have dissensions. Did you know that? And they were seeing men with special powers. They were healing people. They were making the blind see, the lame walk, and all kind of things, raising people from the dead. And yet they still had problems. I think if somebody came in and doing that, wouldn't you believe them? I hope you said no. I hope that was a test. Because it says in the last days, there's going to be wonders and miracles that are so convincing that even some of the elect will be drawn away. You see why the Word of God is so important? It keeps us from being deceived. It keeps us from being tricked with what all this world has to tell us, all the lies that it brings in about who Jesus is and about who God is. So it says, some men came down from Judea and began teaching the brethren, unless you're circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you can't be saved. Wow. See, they want to hang on to that old tradition, wasn't it? Because they could control people. Be careful that you're not in a church where the pastor's trying to control you, trying to make you do something contrary to God's word or contrary to your will, or where you're not even mature enough to do it. You know, the maturity of Christianity is up to God and how He causes the growth in your life. I can plant, I can water, but it says God causes the growth. So, you maybe have been sitting in church for 60 years and you're still a babe in Christ. Did you know that's possible? Because God did not cause growth in your life. But unless you're circumcised, you can't be saved. Okay? Salvation is based truly on a gift from God. You can't merit it. You can't earn it. You can't do anything to say, okay, this is legalism. And you got to be careful in a lot of these churches about the legalisms. Well, you can't do this, and you can't do this, 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 you can't do this. I'm tired if I can't do this. I'm worn out because I have no power in my life to stop doing the things that I was naturally born to do. I can't make a dog be a duck. It ain't going to happen. And I can't make a sinner be a saint. Only God can do that. But Paul and Barnabas had great dissension and debate. So again, the church is in uproar. The brethren determined that Paul and Barnabas and some others of them should go to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders concerning this issue. Therefore, being sent on their way by the church, they were passing through both Phoenicia and Samaria, described in detail the conversion of the Gentiles and bringing great joy to all the brethren. And when they arrived at Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all that God had done with them. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who had believed stood up saying, it's necessary to circumcise them and to direct them to observe the law of Moses. So if you're a Gentile, you needed to be circumcised like the Jewish nation was. See, and then here's where the Word of God is so amazing. That circumcision was based upon the first covenant. It was only partial removal of the flesh, but that nature was still alive. So it was basically based on man's commitment to something, to God's law. Guess what? We all failed. You can't keep God's laws. It doesn't make how you commit yourself to Jesus Christ. That's not going to happen. This is not going to work by your commitment. Your commitment is based on your efforts. This is about God's efforts. It's about God bringing us through to that point of where we become holy and sinless in our lives. But these people are just trying to add more burden. Be careful and don't let somebody add burden to your life. If you don't like to read Scripture every day, tell God you don't like to read it. See, the problem is when we make ourselves go through the acts of acting like Christians, and I use that word very closely as we talked in Sunday school, don't like it because the Christians of today don't resemble anything the Christians of the early church. We're children of God. Okay? And that's by the basis by which we do what we do. It's based on who we are. And he goes on to say, and here's how they solve the conflict. I love this. And after much debate, and there was even more debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brethren, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, and that by my mouth, the Gentiles would hear the word of the gospel and believe." So it's going to be a circumcision of the heart they would receive, which is total removal of the flesh, so that God could perform the miraculous act upon us, so that we can be transformed into something else that we're not. And God, who knows the heart, he's the only one that knows our heart. Our biggest deception is we think that we're doing the right thing for the right reasons. And the Bible says you don't get what you ask for because you're asking with the wrong motives. Have you checked your motives out with the Word of God? Or you just come to the assumption that, oh, I'm doing right and I'm living right and I'm doing good and therefore I'll go to heaven? That's not going to happen. And after been much debate, stood up, "Brethren, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, mouth of Gentiles, would hear the word and gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, testified to them, giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did us." You see, becoming a pastor is very difficult for me because sometimes you guys aren't as far along as I think you should be. And I get frustrated with you all because, you know, you show up when you just want to. You didn't prepare to come to worship. You didn't put on your... all those things, you know, pastors have struggled with. You're not giving enough money in the offering plate. You're not... And that's wrong. You see, my responsibility is to feed the sheep. It's his responsibility to grow the sheep. But pastors all over the world, they get discouraged. They quit because they don't see any evidence of the work of their endeavor. And this is where you have to go on faith and trust God that the word that you're giving, if it is the true word of God, it will impact the lives of those that hear. But there's no guarantee of that. See, the responsibility now lies upon you, not me. You have heard the word of God. How serious is it in your life, and what will you do with it? Are you here just because somebody made you come? Or was there really a desire and a joy? Man, I can't wait to get there to worship. Or was it more of, hey, I like my Sunday school class. I like the fellowship in there. Boy, I'm going to come just because I'm fellowshipping with the Sunday school class. I'm just telling you the truth, folks. We need to analyze why we're doing what we're doing. And make sure you're not here for the wrong reason, because it could be in vain. And the last thing that I want is him to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." But I can't make that happen for you. Just like Paul has to come and say, you know, we believe that this is all based upon God's mercy and grace, that these Gentiles were saved just like we were, and they have the Holy Spirit just like we do. So now we got to allow the Holy Spirit to do his job. It's the Holy Spirit's responsibility to convict the world of their sins, not mine. If I'm to be the beacon and a light to a lost world, then I must make sure I respond differently than the world does to the world tragedies. We can't listen to man to solve the problems that are spiritual. All the problems that men have are spiritual ones. Did you know that? You name one problem It's a spiritual one. See, we're not trying to solve the problem. We're trying to put a Band-Aid and stop the bleeding instead of curing the problem. And only God can do that. But now, in the verse 10, now therefore, why do you put God to the test? By placing upon the neck of the disciples a yoke which neither our fathers nor we are able to bear. See, I love this, that he recognized that he couldn't do the requirements that God requires to be holy. It's impossible for man to do that. But we believe that we are saved through grace and the Lord Jesus Christ in the same way they were also. So understanding that as you, as children of God, remember your conversion. Remember when you became that child, and remember when you received that Holy Spirit. Remember when you were convicted of your sin and the agony that you were in, because of now it was revealed to you what you are. And you couldn't do anything about it. And the anxiety of knowing that you're apart from a holy God that created this world. And you can't do anything about it. Wow. Quickly, we'll look at 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. I like this part. I like this verse because sometimes I think we're too hard on ourselves, and sometimes I think we're not hard enough on ourselves. There's a balance, and that balance should come from the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. This is Paul talking here to the church of Corinth. It says, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, now I want you as you read your scriptures each day, how many times you come across the fact that God reveals this to us, that man doesn't reveal it to us. Of the revelations, for this reason, to keep from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Have y'all ever had a splinter? Have you ever had a splinter in your finger? And what does it do? It festers, it hurts, it gets sore. And the only way that gets better is what? To remove it, right? And then it heals. Well, Paul has this thorn in the flesh that God will not remove. He uses it for the purpose of keeping him from becoming prideful and arrogant. You see, sometimes God lets us fall. He catches us and then lets us completely annihilate. But sometimes he allows us to get in situations where we become humble. God's servants are always humble. They're never arrogant. They're never prideful because they realize what they've been saved from. But Paul, unfortunately, we don't know what his problem is. I love these theologians that say, well, it was his eyesight. Well, I can prove that it wasn't eyesight. I can prove by the Word of God it was not eyesight. You know how? Keep on reading. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that he might leave, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. What's grace? Unmerited favor. Why do you need grace for bad eyesight? You need grace for some situation in your life that you can't get rid of, some habit or addiction or something that's just driving you nuts, that keeps festering. You know why it keeps festering? It's so to remind us that, oh, I remember who I am. And I remember who I am without God. We have to have that type of humility to be able to live in this world and deal with folks that don't know who God is. See, the religious folks have already made up their mind about all of this stuff. See, it's amazing when you get to that point, and I see it all the time, you reach a certain point of spiritual maturity, and what's the first thing you want to do is write a book. I got a book I'm going to use on Father's Day in my office. I saw it. I didn't even know it was in there. I got all kind of books in there, and I don't know what's in there because I don't read those books. I read the Holy Scriptures. 60-minute Father. You guys are taking too much time to be a father. I got this book to help you be a father in 60 minutes. And that's all you do is 60 minutes, and you're a father. It's funny what we do as men and think we're pleasing God when he says you can't do anything in the flesh to please me. But Paul needed this. And I suspect that we in our lives need this. See, Paul didn't get depressed about this. I love his response. You see, and this is what happens is Satan comes in with his blinding light when we just not where we think we should be, and we're going through this transformation and sanctification and walking, and then all of a sudden Satan comes along and says, you're not worthy. You're just not worthy. Well, I got news for you. You never were worthy. Talking about leaving a burden off of our shoulders. So don't allow the church, don't allow people to put a burden back upon you. Allow God to work through this transformation. It's working through the transformation that we get the joy. Listen to the joy that Paul has in understanding. I'm not removing the flesh. I'm not going to remove this from you because you need this. I've got to keep you humble. You're out there working and doing all this stuff. You're living right, and you're looking at everybody else, and you're becoming judgmental because, boy, they're not doing what you're doing, and look at all the sacrifices you're making for God, and boy, wow, you need some humility here, don't we? So Paul has to go back and remember that. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, and the power is perfected in weakness. So when I realize I'm weak and I can't overcome the flesh, most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weakness. So he boasts about his inferiority, the sin in his life, knowing that God is the only one that can work through that and cleanse him from all unrighteousness. So that the power of Christ may dwell in me. See, as long as we're trying to do it, the Holy Spirit won't. But he'll bring us to a point in our lives that hopefully the revelation comes to us that we can't. And then we allow him to kill this flesh that we're left with and the desires of this flesh. He's going to boast in his weakness. He understands it's a revelation to him that, and it reminds him, thank you, Almighty God, that you saved me from what I am. Don't ever forget where you've come from. I'd rather boast about my weakness so the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content. You don't have to learn to be content. So he said, I'm going to live with this thorn in my flesh because I know it provides a power beyond me to allow me to go to others and teach and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean we go out and sin because we want to. But it's when we fail. You see, because there's grace, Paul said, should we go out and then sin more to make God happy because he gives more grace to us? May it never be. But it's to recognize where we're at in our walk and celebrate this victories in our lives. Did you know that sometimes the failing is a victory? The world doesn't look at, oh, you messed up again. But you know what? I didn't go as far. You know, doing his best. I didn't enjoy it like I used to enjoy it. Until that day, you're able to just walk away from the temptation, see the way out, knowing that there's peace and the conflict of the soul that when we do mess up, is not worth that battle as just saying no, indulging into the flesh of the things that we like. We're to enjoy this walk. It's not going to be easy, but there can be joy in it. There can be peace and there's victory. You can't let the religious world tell you that it wasn't a victory, that you failed, but the victory is that you realized you failed. And God gives you the power to repent so that there can be the forgiveness of sin. I didn't mean to preach that long. I was going to give you your 15 minutes or 10 minutes that I owed you from last week. Oh, well. It's neat stuff, folks. It's something you better take to heart. You can't listen to men and just precariously just come in and precariously just throw this thing of Jesus Christ around, but understand that it has eternal consequences in our life. And if you do not come to the revelation through the Holy Spirit, and only through the Holy Spirit, of where you are, and if he does not transform you and makes you into a new creature and seals you with the Holy Spirit, then you're not his. I don't care what any religious person tells you, or any religion or any denomination tells you. The Word of God says if you don't have the Spirit of God, you're not a child of his. And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. And that is my heart's desire, is that we're brave enough and courageous enough to ask God to show us our own heart and reveal who he is. For a child of God, that ought to be easy, because all he's going to do is reveal himself to you. If you're not a child of God, he'll reveal your heart. And then be courageous to accept what God tells you and quit listening to what you tell yourself and what man tells you, because it will lead you down the wrong path.